Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Lay. Sir. Yeah.
Kayla's in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when they come up, the show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast, previewing the 2022 Wyndham Championship. Fun one. Last one before the FedEx Cup playoffs begin. So the field of 125 will be formed after this week. So you'll hear that a million times on air. To preview the podcast, you can find myself on Twitter at BDentric and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
I'm good, dude. How are you?
I'm doing. It's another fun Monday. But yeah, how was the weekend for you?
Yeah, it was busy. Played another golf tournament. You know, shit like that. So I did not get to see Tony Finau go back to back.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I was watching it early Sunday, or at least when he teed off for a little bit before I took off for the day. And he was just kind of putting along, just kind of not doing much. Then all of a sudden, the back nine, he turned it on and just kind of waxed the floor with people. So it was pretty dominating once again for Mr. Finau. It was wild to watch.
It's crazy, man. Like, you know, we've talked about obviously in the past, like he can't win. But it's like one of those things where you knew obviously the talent's there. It's just, and then the floodgates eventually will open, and fucking back to back weeks. Like,
yeah,
did not see that coming.
Yeah. Pretty wild. Good fields for him to do it in. They weren't Puerto Rico, of course. They're actually real golf tournaments, but still not like the majors by any means, but a dub's a dub. So that's right. Always good. Especially for Tony Finau to keep that monkey off his back. It was just impressive to watch the birdies. I think he's like 43 under the last 2 weeks or something like that. Some crazy number.
That's crazy.
I don't know what he did his last eight holes on Sunday. I'm assuming fine based on the score, but up till that point, he was like 100 and something holes in a row without a three putt. They were talking about that's just how locked in he is right now. It's crazy. Cause he was having putts from like 40, 50 feet away, and he was lagging them up perfectly for like easy tap-ins, and he's got it going on. It's a fun thing to watch, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when you get in that zone, that's gotta be fun to be him right now too.
Yeah,
as a golfer
about it. I thought Cantlay was gonna give him a little more push on Sunday. He made a run and then kind of he didn't do much on the back nine, but another nice week for Cantlay. It just sucked because he was like 40% rostered in my tournaments. He was a chalk of the chalk. So
yeah, surprising to me.
Yeah, I didn't think he'd be that high. I didn't either. Damn.
Yeah.
And just wait till Webb this week, boys. We'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, so that kind of put a damper on things, because if he would have just kind of like gotten by, it wouldn't hurt. But, you know, 40% finishing like what, third or fourth place, that's gonna crush a lot of lineups. So
yeah.
That was a stinger. You had Cam Young looked amazing. Just had a little hiccup, I think, on Friday or Saturday. Other than that, though, he was money. You got Tom Kim with a monster Sunday round, just everything like 8 or 9 under. Wyndham Clark put together another nice week. It was some fun golf overall. Didn't get to watch a ton, but it was fun to see a bunch of the big names plus the new guys getting the job done.
Yep, for sure.
All right. Wyndham Championship. That's what I keep calling it. Maybe it's the Wyndham Classic. I don't know.
It's championship.
I think it is too. It feels like every time I say it, I'm saying it wrong in my head. I'm like, nah, it's championship. And I mentioned the Webb thing because you'll hear it on anything you talk about this week. This is Webb's favorite golf course, not named Quail. He's got a kid named Wyndham. Like, he has great success here. You're going to hear that a million times. I think he was some ungodly percentage rostered last week. It's like here in the RSM, he's like 50%, it feels like, half the time. So that'll be a conversation point at one point in time. But what do you got for some past event history?
Yeah, so it's been played at Sedgefield Country Club for since 2008. Before then, they had moved it around a little bit. But ever since 2008, it's been Sedgefield, which you'll talk about here shortly. But last year, Kevin Kisner was the winner 15-under in a playoff over Brandon Grace, Siwoo Kim, Kevin Na, Adam Scott, and Roger Sloan. 2020 was Jim Herman, 21-under, one shot over Billy Horschel. 2019, JT Poston shot the four-day record, 22-under, one shot over Webb Simpson. Brent Snedeker in his second win here was 2018, 21-under, three shots over CT Pan and Webb. 2017 was Henrik Stenson.
Yeah.
Which you didn't mention, the fact that Henrik Stenson just won the retirement tour.
Yes.
And won like $4 million. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Tony Finau has won about 2.8 in the last 2 weeks combined. And Stenson just walked out there, played 54 holes, not the whole, 54 holes in a shotgun format like you did this weekend, and won $4.3 million.
I won $100 for a skin.
That's a good equivalency, right? That's got to pan close. Out.
I've decided to start calling it the retirement tour.
It's fair, because the guys they keep bringing over, they're like, not most of them aren't the big dogs anymore, but they're names that people will go watch. That's the thing, like, that people still want to go see play. And it was funny to me because the Aces, DJ's team, Pat Perez and Ringus Reed and Harry the Fourth is, they won again back-to-back weeks, and I think it's like $150,000 a dude or something, maybe even more. Could be more.
No, the $750,000, I think.
Oh, per person. Okay, that sounds about right. Yeah, $3 million. Yeah, you're right. And someone tweeted out, or it was a meme of some sort, because it showed they all get the big bottle of champagne and they're celebrating. There's a picture of Pat Perez going, "Look at me collecting my $750,000 check for finishing 10 over once again, not helping my team win."
Yeah, I mean,
Matt Wolf played well. He had a big Sunday. He finished second, and he was over the moon. So, you know, to each their own. Like, we've talked about it enough. You know, it's ruining the game potentially. We've seen the strength of fields are already dwindling, and that's not gonna change as they keep going over there. I think it's time to maybe start accepting this is the way it's going to be. And if you either like golf or just don't watch it, that's the best thing I can tell you, because it's not going anywhere anytime soon. Like, this is what these guys are going to do.
I'm with you. I wonder why they – I know we're going off on side hill here, but why did they change the format – or why did they change the days from Thursday to Saturday to Friday to Sunday? Did you hear about that?
I didn't hear why. I was wondering that too. I was kind of surprised. I'm like, well, at first I always thought – Friday to Sunday made sense, but then again, I could see Thursday to Saturday because you can fly home and be with your family on Sunday, because remember, they want more family time. So that made sense too.
But then now they're going to have to play 14 tour events plus like Asian tour events.
Asian tour. Yeah, it's going to be a full schedule. Yeah. But they treat the caddies well.
And they're all getting paid.
Yeah, they get paid, and they're getting paid. Their travel's paid for. Like, I get it. I really do. If the political crap gets like away, I get it 100%. Because James Hahn, our buddy, the guy that plays on the tour,
I saw the tweet today.
Yeah, and it makes sense what he's saying though for these guys that don't make millions of dollars.
Well, they
get to write it off. Don't get me wrong.
He cherry picked a really bad schedule there because Japan is no cut guaranteed money.
Yeah,
South Carolina is no cut guaranteed money.
Wait, real quick, isn't Japan like invite only too?
Yes.
Yeah, James ain't going to that anyway. remember James? Remember, we can't identify you.
I mean, his Twitter game is something else.
His point makes sense. It just doesn't for his situation, I guess.
I get it to a certain extent, but you know what? If I'm getting guaranteed $20,000 to fly to Japan, and with the chance to win more, I mean, I'll just suck it up.
I'm assuming it's the HSBC or something like that.
I don't know.
It's one of those.
I've not seen the schedule myself. I've I've not seen like a full list of like the events, but well, apparently they, there's just that one kind of section.
No, China's HSBC. It was okay,
they're not doing. They're not doing that event anymore, I don't think.
No.
And then they moved the CJ Cup from South Carolina to what to South or from South Korea to South Carolina. So
okay. Yeah, no, it's a lot of traveling. I get it, but it's one of those, A, you don't have to plan a lot. B, like, it's a guaranteed check. Like, no one's complaining from flying from Florida to Hawaii for the century.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there. So, and, you know, I understand it's a business deal, but I think a lot of guys, at least wives, would be like, yeah, I want you to go play in Puerto Rico. That sounds fun to me. I'll go with you. Like,
Bermuda. I mean,
and it sucks, but they get to write all this off. It's all business expenses.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I get it, but I also get the live stuff. I get it. That's like you said, retirement. They're set up.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to get annoyed by it, though, the one thing I will say is follow Pat Perez's wife on Instagram, and it'll make you want to puke by the end of each thing.
I guarantee it.
Yeah. But all right. Are you done with your past event history?
A couple more. Siwoo Kim, 2016 winner, 21 under, 5 shots over Luke Donald. Davis Love has won this 3 times. Patrick Reed won it once. Sergio won it once. Webb Simpson did win this tournament in 2011.
Also, since we're going down rabbit holes, Luke Donald was named to replace Henrik Stenson as the Ryder Cup captain for Team Europe today.
Oh, I did not see that. That's a solid pick, though.
That is a good pick. Dumb old me. I'm like, I thought he was like Aussie or something. But I'm like, okay, no, it's easy. Yeah, never mind. It took me a second. I'm like, no, Donald, idiot. Like, come on. But yeah, so he's replacing Henrik Stenson for the 2023 Ryder Cup team. So that'll be fun over there. I think that's what, Rome? Yeah, that's going to be a fun one. That's going to be a fun one over there in Rome. But all right, you did the past event history. I'll give you the course preview here. You mentioned Sedgefield Country Club. It's been here for quite some time. Par 70, 7,131 yards. Bermuda greens, like we've seen pretty recently in a lot of these events as they are on the East Coast. It's a Donald Ross design, just like last week's event. It's going to be a lot of shot makers courses. Narrow fairways, not like super narrow, but narrow enough. The rough is very penal, so you want to be out of the rough. The greens are very gettable if you're out of the fairway, so that's why I said it's a less than driver course. It's a, you hit it to a spot, so you have an approach shot in. Most of the approach shots will be 150 to 175. It's a wedge fest if you're in the fairway. The out of the 12 par fours, 8 of them are 400 to 450, so that can be a bucket you can look at as well, besides the approach game from 150 to 175. Biggest thing that I've noticed is hit your fairway in your approach game. If it's on point, you're going to have a lot of chances of birdies. As Jesse mentioned, scoring, it's usually like 17 under to 22 under, give or take. So you're going to need guys to get birdies. It's like the last couple of weeks all over again. But unlike the last couple of weeks, like I've said it a few times, you can't spray it and pray. The rough will eat you up here. So I think this is where we saw it's going to kill me. Benny on was chasing posted, and then he started finding the rough on the back nine, and it just got nasty. So, yeah, it's a pretty simple layout, but if you're off, you're going to get screwed. So, yeah, accuracy, approach, luck box putting. What do you got, Jesse?
Yeah, I'll second that. I mean, plenty of course history, obviously, too, but it is more of an accuracy type of course versus just, like you said, bomb and gouge, and then par five scoring always matters. Especially in birdie fest weeks. And then, like I said, plenty of course history, which I always wait when we have
plenty
it.
Of course history. And then one other thing I'll mention is you need, like you said, Jesse said the par fives, you do have to take, it's any course you got to take advantage of the par fives, but there's two par fives, both have a birdie rate over 50% and both have an eagle rate from 4 to 6%. So you need to, it's always the most tilting thing is watching your app and seeing your guys nuts do that. Sure. There's also a couple par fours, the eighth and the ninth, that have like 20% or better. The 13th has a 24% or better birdie rate. And then the par three 16th has a 22%. So if you're playing showdown, you could potentially get a birdie streak on the 8-9, hopefully 7-8-9 or 8-9-10. Those are not, 7 and 10 are not easy, but those are kind of your biggest clusters, that and then 15, 16. So there's really no edge in picking front nine or back nine, is what I'm trying to tell you. There's no wraparound advantage based on past history here. All right, let's have some fun. See what other lanes of craziness we can dive down and avoid taking DraftKings picks. But 10K and above, Jesse, we have 5 guys this week. Yeah, 5. Amazing. They upgraded. Yeah. Now, are they worth 10K? In this tournament, they are. Will Zalatoris is 10-9, the leading price getter, because they have no one in the top 10 OWGR, should have mentioned that, but they have like 4 or 5 in the top 25. Willie Z at 10-9, Webb Simpson at 10-7, can't wait to see that chalk. Shane Lowry at 10-6, Sungjae at 10-5, and Billy Ho at 10-3. So no 10-2, no 10-1, no 10,000. They just left a gap all the way down to 98, actually. A $500 gap, but we'll get to that in a minute. What do you like in the 10K range?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Webb, the Labs, which kind of partnered with, I think, Fanshare, is showing Webb at 11%. I've got a hard time believing that.
Yeah, I know he's been playing bad golf, but yeah, nah, it's not going to happen this week.
They got, you know, everybody else around them basically at 20%. Yeah. I just don't see it. I mean, Webb's course history alone, 7th, 3rd, 2nd, 2nd, 3rd, 72nd, 6th. And then obviously had that win back in 2011. Coming off a made cut last week at the Rocket Mortgage, finished 69th, though. Didn't play great. Missed cut. 13th, missed cut. I mean, his form coming in. I think this is a year to fade him if you're going to. I just would love to know what his ownership is, because I would love to go one way or the other on that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I would say Fantasy National, but it usually doesn't have him yet. It's too early in the game.
But it's also like hard to fade somebody with that good of course history. You know, I don't know. So
the early Fantasy National has him at 13%.
I mean, because I'd be all in if he was that low, right?
I just don't believe it. It feels like one of those that's going to be the complete opposite of what projections are showing.
I don't disagree with you. It's hard for me to see him being that low owned with that good of course history. Like, it just never equates like that. Let's see what he was here.
Well, Mayo's podcast will drop in a day or two, so that could change everything. We'll see how that one plays out.
So, I did that backwards. You go ahead. I'm gonna do just a tiny bit of research here that I was not prepared to do.
All right. In the 10K range for me, I will be fading Webb Simpson unless, like Jesse was saying, if for some reason he's like 10%. Well, that'll make things interesting. But I'll be fading him, and I'll go to our usual suspect, Mr. Shane Lowry. He's 12th in my model. Over the last 24 rounds, second on approach, he is at 9th in par 5 scoring in this field, 20th in birdie or better. He's just outstanding. So I'll go Shane Lowry on this one. And he's finished T23, missed cut T7 in his three appearances here since 2017. Sungjae Im at 10-5 is interesting. He's coming in some pretty good form overall. T2 at the 3M Open, T81 at the Open. But I like seeing that T2, his approach game was on point in that game. In that tournament, that's what we want here. He's made three straight cuts, T24, T9, T6. So I'll take Sungjae, and then I'll go Billy Ho as well. When you're talking approach game, Billy Ho's been pretty locked in. He finished second here in 2020, 6th, 11th. So his last three events, 2nd, 6th, 11th at this tournament. And he's coming in after a decent showing with a T21 at the Open Championship, which is usually not a good forte for him. So I'm looking at Lowry, Sungjae, and Billy Ho for me up in the 10K range. What'd you find out?
Yeah, so last year, 35% owned, almost 36% owned. Year before that, the same. And, I mean, he was coming in better form, but I don't know. I have a hard time believing he's going to be below 20%.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Also like Shane, also like Sungjae. I think they're both solid plays. I don't know how much you mentioned on Billy Horschel, but course history is there and is really good. Coming off a missed cut, the Scottish Open, he might be the lowest owned of these guys up here, but he has really good course history. So I like Billy Ho quite a bit.
Yeah, he finished a T21 at the Open too, so he finished well there. Yep. You said that course history is pretty, pretty money for him. 9K range, we got Russell Henley at 98, Corey Connors at 96, Hatton 94, Adam Scott 92, HV3 9,000. So a nice solid 9K range here as well. Who are you targeting?
Yeah, start with Henley up top, 7th and 9th in his last two appearances here. So two straight top 10s at this event, and coming off a top 10 last week. Missed the cut at the U.S. Open, made a couple cuts before that, missed the cut at the Heritage, made a shit ton of cuts before that. So he's had a really good year. Adam Scott at 92 would be my next choice. 2nd here last year, 63rd back in 2015. So those are his last two starts at this tournament. Made the cut last week. And, you know, he's not had a great Adam Scott year, but in this field, $9,200, I think he's fine. And lastly for me is HV3. Has made the last five cuts at this particular tournament, was playing really, really good golf, and has kind of fallen off a little bit, but is a North Carolina dude, born and raised. So, yeah, like those three.
Yep, good crew there. I'm all over Russell Henley. He's one of my favorite plays this week. He's eighth in my model. Watching him last week, I was surprised how low owned he was at his price point last week, and he torched it on the weekend. He's first in approach over the last 24 rounds, ninth in opportunities gained, fifth tee to green, 12th in par fours, 4 to 450. He's pretty much everything you want out there at $9,800. So I like him quite a bit. I like everybody. I could see an argument for everybody. I like the HV3. The course history is very good. He's first in par five scoring in this field, third in approach, fourth in opportunities gained. He's going to get plenty of birdie opportunities. Scott's seventh in my mall, but like I could see Connors and Hatton. Hatton's he's always the tilting one. It's all or nothing with him. But Corey Connors might be quite popular just based on his usual approach game stats. Like he's fourth off the tee, ninth tee to green, six par five scoring. He's struggling in that proximity that we're looking at 150 to 175. So if you have to split hairs, you can go there. So like I think we're on pretty much the same guys for now, but I see arguments for Connors and Hatton as well. And I can't really tell you not to do it.
Yeah, I just didn't have them checked off because of the course history. You know, one appearance for Hatton here, missed cut. And then, like, you know, Corey Connors missed cut 22nd, 45th, and that was 2020, 2019, 2018. So that's the only reason why I didn't, you know, have those two particular guys. But I wouldn't argue against somebody playing them.
Definitely. 8K range, you want to talk course history. Denny McCarthy is $8,900. You got Siwoo at 88. Kiz, defending champion Kiz, 87. Tom Kim's up to 86. Pendrith almost got it done last week at 85. Seabez, 84. Harmon, 83. Poston, 82. Aaron Wise, 81. And Davis Riley at 8,000, as well as Justin Rose. So another very, very loaded range.
Yeah, for sure. There's plenty to like in this range. Denny McCarthy at 8,900. 15th, 9th, 22nd, 36th in his four appearances here. Is coming off a missed cut last week. Sixth at the John Deere, which is probably more similar. He's had a solid run, you know, played well at the U.S. Open, at the Memorial. Those are a couple tougher tracks, but I don't mind him. Kisner, obviously 8,700, like you said, defending champion. Course history is great. Third the year before that, has a couple other top tens, at this tournament. Did miss the cut last week. But last week was a little bit more about distance. This week is more about, you know, getting it in play. Tom Kim, 8,600. I mean, we've talked about him the last few weeks. Like you said, in the opening, he had a really good Sunday, shot 63, 9 under par to go up the leaderboard. So that's two top 10s for him in his last three starts. Pendrith played him last week. I thought I was going to have a really good lineup, and I had a couple guys miss the cut. Hubbard was one of them after his fucking hole-in-one.
Yeah, he had a rough Friday.
I was baffled by it. I fully expected him to be a shoe-in to make the cut. But Pendrith playing really, really good golf. I don't think we're going to be able to get him at 15% owned like we did last week. I think it's going to be it's going to go up this week. So keep that in mind. And then Poston at 8,200 has won here. His course history, though, is the last 3 years, miscut, win. And then before that, miscut 50th. So you know, I don't know how much you can rely on that, but did win the John Deere Classic and then finished 11th at the 3M Open.
Yeah, it's a fun range. I like Denny McCarthy as well. Hopefully he doesn't pop in quote-unquote people's models because like, he ranks 51st in mine because overall it's like all or nothing. Either he makes the cut and finishes well or he misses the cut. That's how Denny is right now. It's a great tournament play. I think Siwoo could be one we can get a little nice low ownership on. He's 45th in my model. He's coming in with a decent week last week. Finished 14th and then 15th at the Open Championship. So a couple of good finishes in a row for Siwoo. And he's made three straight cuts here, including a second, a third, and a fifth. So Siwoo at 88 could be a guy I think might get hopefully overlooked. The course history might not help. Kiz, I could see the argument as well. But then Tom Kim might be very popular at $8,600. I like him. He's still 17th in my model. Second fairways gain, fifth from par fours, 4 to 450. So he's solid. Seabez could be an ownership play here at $8,400. He's 29th in my model. His approach stats look pretty, pretty good. 21st in par fours, 4 to 450, 17th in proximity 150 to 175. So I think Seabez could be an ownership play. Don't mind the post and call. The other guy I like, though, is Aaron Wise. He's 9th in my model. He's 6th on approach. When he gets the putter going, he can be very good. And he's got the putter going as of late. He's 14th in opportunities gained, 19th in par five scoring in this field, and he's coming with a 34th at the Open Championship. his last time out. And he finished 46th, missed cut 48th in his three trips here. So like Wise at 81 can be a nice little ownership move as well. 79 to 75, you got bounce back Hubbard time. Mitchell, Day, Stallings keeps playing well. Adam Long, Munoz, Goddard, Vegas, Streelman, Champ, Todd, Smalley, Svensson. Hope you guys went back to Svensson this last week. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I wish I would have. I did not, though. But I thought about him every time I saw him on the fucking leaderboard. Start up top with Hubbard here at $7,900. I'm going to go back. He does have three straight made cuts at this event. He did miss the cut last week with that Friday 74, but before that had two straight top five finishes. Scott Stallings at 7,800. I think we talked about him a few weeks ago or last week maybe. He wasn't as high owned as I thought he would be. That's three straight top tens for Scott Stallings.
It's crazy.
I don't know. His course history here is sketch, though. Miscut, 42nd, 31st. Miscut, 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 miscut. So, I mean, it's not great. I would rather play Adam Long. Course history is not great either. Miscut, 31st, miscut, but coming off a 16th place finish at the 3M. Strillman's another guy at 7,600. He does have good course history. 7th miscut, 72nd, 37th in his last four starts. And has made four straight cuts on tour, including a second-place finish at the Barbasol Championship. Svensson, yeah, I mean, go back to him. 31st here in 2019, played solidly last week. I agree with that. And then Smalley, 29th here last year. You know, he's up and down. You know, he missed the cut at the Rocket Mortgage, but finished 10th and 16th in his two starts before that. So, you know, I think he's worth a shot at 75.
A lot of young birdie makers in this range. I'll definitely be going back to Hubbard. I mentioned it in the Discord earlier this last week that you know, don't be afraid to go off of guys that missed the cut from the week before, like your Thigalas who made the cut, didn't play well on the weekend, but your Svensson's, there's a bunch of them. A bunch of them finished very good this past week. And don't forget to deal with Hubbard. Like if he misses the cut, he's a great birdie fest type player because he can birdie in bunches when he gets going. So, third in my model. He's fifth in approach. He's second from 150 to 175. So I like Hubbard quite a bit with you. I think Stallings, he's second in my model. Like, this is nuts, but he's earned it the way he's playing. 10th on the par fours, 4 to 450, fifth in the proximity we're looking for. So I like Stallings as well. I love the Adam Long call. I think he might get overlooked. He's playing really good golf, basically T25 or better in his last like three or four events. So I like that for Adam Long at 77. For birdie fest, I'll give Goddard up another chance. He kind of struggled over the weekend, but made the cut. $7,600. He's sixth in opportunities gained over the last 24 rounds. So he's one to target. I like the Smalley call a lot. Svensson's number one in my model. So the top three guys in my model are in this group. Fun times. Yeah. So Svensson's number one, 10th in approach over the last 24 rounds, first in birdie or better attempt, eighth in par fours, 4 to 450. So I like some Svensson quite a bit at 7,500. And that should be it for this range. I like the Smalley call. The one I'll just bring up, and I'm not sure if I'm going to play him just yet because he ranked 71st in my model. But if you look at just recent form, Cam Champ is finding recent form right now. He's looked really, really good. I watched him over the week, and he's 20th last week, 16th of the 3M. That's after five straight missed cuts for Cam Champ. And if you just look at his past event history, miscut 2019. So yeah. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a fine tournament play. You know, if you're going to play a bunch of lineups, I would probably sprinkle at least a little bit of Cam Champ in there because he does have a lot of upside, as we've seen in the past, with his ability to win.
Most definitely. What do you like in the 7 to 7,400 range?
Start with Martin Laird at 7,400. Does have two straight missed cuts here. Did have some better course history before that, coming off a missed cut, the 3M Open. But just a guy who can get it going. Chez Reavie won the Barracuda. Course history is sketch, but I think he fits the mold as far as like just getting in the fairway. Harris English, 7,300, has not missed a cut here, at least all the way back to 2012. Now, he did miss the cut last week. I think he missed it on the number. Shot 71. I think the cut was 3 under, and so that's 2 under, so... But I'm going to keep playing Harris English. It's like Daniel Berger a few years back. I don't know if you remember that. You remember him coming off injury?
Oh, yeah.
And we talked about, you know, eventually he's going to figure it out. Eventually Harris English is going to be is going to be in good shape. Taylor Moore at 7,300 is another guy. He's never played here, but is coming off a sixth-place finish last week, 65th before that, 21st, 24th, 56th. Has had a solid run here recently. Aaron Rye at 7,200. Be another guy, never played here, is coming off a miscut at the Scottish Open, but was playing really solidly over here in the States before that, and then that's it for me.
I'll start off with the guy I seem to play every week because he rates least decently is CT Pan. He's 36th on my model. He plays these kind of short accuracy type courses very well. Miscut last week, 31st at the 3M, 24th at the John Deere. If you look at past history here, CT Pan, where did you go, little buddy? There he is. T29, T69, T2, or 63rd, his last four trips to the tournament. So he can make the cut, maybe make a run. He's 7,400. Don't mind the freebie call. Kellen Tarrant, I'm going right back to you yet again. Big Sunday after a horrible Saturday, so that was much, much appreciated. T20 last week, T7 at the 3M Open, miscut at the Scottish Open, T6 at the John Deere. He can score birdies in big bunches. So I like Tarim at 7,300. I like the Taylor Moore call as well. He's another birdie machine. JJ Spahn is interesting. He's 32nd in my model. He's coming off of the T8 last week. He had T59 at the Scottish Open. So maybe he's going to start heating up again because he had that good run and he kind of petered out for a bit. Maybe he gets it going again. When you look at this event for JJ Spahn, miscut, 69th, 16th. So see what you get there. But 7,300. Russell Knox at 72. When you're talking approach game, he's one that usually checks the boxes. When you look at the last history here, 24th, 72nd, 48th, 28th, his last four trips here. So he's intriguing to me. His current form, 37th at the Rocket Mortgage, 42nd at the Scottish Open. So you can go there. And then I'm surprised you didn't mention your boy, Steven Jägerbombs. He had a big week last week.
You keep calling him my boy.
Because you're playing.
I haven't played the guy in forever.
He's doing well now. But Jaeger, T-Dunks, Lee Hodges, they're 13th, 18th, and 16th in my model. And they can birdie in bunches, so I don't mind them as well as cheaper options. And they rate, like I said, pretty well in great proximity scoring and par 5 scoring for all of them. So pretty good discounts, I think, at $7,100 in this field for those three guys. Below 7K, what do you like in Jesse?
Start with Chesson Hadley at 6,900. We talked about him last week.
Yep.
And he missed the cut. Yeah. But was playing solidly before that. Totally fine with going back to him and getting some discounted ownership because he does have some pretty good course history. Hasn't missed a cut here since 2017, so pretty solid there. Hayden Buckley at 6,900 has never played here, but has played really solid golf since basically the middle of June. Hasn't missed a cut and has several top 25s. Michael Gillick, I think he might have thought last week that he was playing in some of the flighted events that I play in because he was trying to do some flight management, maybe potentially shot 77 the first day, then backed it up with a 66.
Yeah, he really gave us the tilt on that one.
Has made the cut in both his appearances at the Wyndham here. And then last but not least for me, RCB, Rafa Cabrera Bello. It's been a while since we've talked about him. He was leading the Scottish Open for a long time, shot 77 on Sunday. Did go to the Barracuda, made the cut there, finished 44th, but has some solid course history. Last appearance was 2020, finished 37th. 2018, it was 11th. 2016, it was 5th. Missed the cut in 2014. So I think he's interesting there at 67. He's a high upside type of guy for that cheap price. Yeah, and that's all I got.
I will support going back to Chesson Hadley at 69. I'm 100% with you there, and I like Hayden Buckley as well. The other guy I'll mention is Rory Sabatini at $6,900. Sab's T10 last year, miscut T6, T57, T4. So three top 10s in his last 5 years at this event, coming off of 49th last week, a 63rd at the John Deere. So he's an option. I like the Glitchick call. Johnny Huh is 6th in my model. Fifth in opportunities gained, fourth par four for 450, 10th on proximity. So he's intriguing at $6,800. Other than that, like, Bo Hogue rates out poorly, but one thing I will say about Bo Hogue is $6,400, T30, T45, his last two events, missed cut at the Barbasol, T16 at the John Deere. So he's making cuts and finishing rather high for a $6,400 golfer. Missed cut here last year, 42nd the year before. So I can see some appeal at 64. Same with Ryan Brim. He's making cuts right now. He won back, what, a month or two ago? So if you're punting, you can go that route. I'd prefer not to. Kelly Kraft's another one at 65.
You know who's caddying for Ryan Brim these days?
Oh, is your boy?
Friend of the pod, yeah. Lee Chaney. Mm-hmm.
Good for Lee. Yeah, so he got a dub recently then.
I don't know if he was on the bag then.
No, his wife was. Never mind. His wife was caddying for him.
It was more recent, like that. Gotcha. It just happened or whatever. But
gotcha. Well, good for him.
I'm pretty sure he's still caddying for him. I think I saw him on the coverage Thursday.
We'll have to look for him this week. Friend of the pod. Good stuff. All right, let's recap things. 10K and above, who do you got?
I mean, I'm going to say Webb.
Yeah, I'm going to go with it's a tough one. I like all three of these guys. I'll go with Sungjae Im at 10.5. 9K range.
Henley?
Yeah, Henley's the dude for me, too. 8K.
I'm going to go back to the Pendrith well, see how that goes.
It's not a bad well to go to. If I'm not worried about chalk, I'm going to Tom Kim. That's where I'm going. 75 to 79.
Svensson.
Yep, that's the play. Since you took him, I'll take Hubbard. 7K to 74.
Harris English.
Harris English. I will go with, give me Steven Yeager. Yeager bombs. 6K range.
I'm going to say RCB.
That's a fun one. I am going to go back to the Chesson Hadley well. Give me Chesson at 69, hopefully much lower owned. We'll go that direction. If you're starting a cash lineup out this week, where do you plan on starting?
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit of a tough week. I think the problem with Henley is he's a little bit overpriced, but I don't mind him. I think Pendrith is good for cash. Tom Kim probably in that same range. Mm-hmm. And then you look at, you know, Svensson probably.
Yeah, I'd say Svensson, Stallings, which hurts to say, but Stallings, and Henley. That's where I'd start out. But if you're starting a tournament lineup out, who are your three guys?
I would say like Aaron Rye. My computer's is really having a tough time at the moment. Aaron Rye, HV3, and Gillick.
I'm going to go with Sungjae, Henley, and Scott Stallings. We'll see how ownership plays out there to see if it continues that way on Wednesday when I build. But that seems like a fun way to get things going for me at least. All right, the moment everyone waits for, our picks of the week. Willie Z is the favorite, tied with Shane Lowry at plus 1,200, which is crazy. Yeah. Sungjae and Billy Ho at 14. Webb's down to 20. Anything standing out to you this week?
I mean, Siwoo maybe at 28. It seems like he's been playing really good golf and has the course history. Don't mind that. Kisner at 40 is not terrible. Just scrolling on down a little bit further. It becomes harder to imagine these guys winning, but yeah. Cam Champ, maybe. Yeah, I don't know if this maybe really fits his mold of golf course.
You could go your Harris English at 130 if he's going to figure it out.
Yeah, I think he's got to make some more cuts before he figures it out. Yeah.
I think Taylor Moore at 130 is interesting. If he wants to get hot, he can get birdies in bunches. So he could be a fun one, but it's tough. But long shots win here, so... Or at least middle of the pack shots, so maybe don't go too deep, I guess. But like Poston's 45, I don't think he'll go back to back, or not back to back, but I don't think he'll get a second one. Kiz at 40, he might go back to back. I don't know. It's ugly. Aaron Wise at 40, I don't mind.
Kiz can win out of nowhere. Yeah, he really can.
He can look absolute dog shit, and the next week show up, and you know it ain't no hobby boys.
Right.
Exactly. It's the beauty. It's the beauty of golf, as we know. It's just one swing to the next, and it changes all the time. But final thoughts for our last full field event of the season before we get three playoff events that I hate more and more as they go on.
I don't have much of final thoughts, but football season will be here before we know it.
Yep. We have the Hall of Fame game this Thursday for those that care. I don't really, but hey, It's football. So you got that going for you. You got college football in a few weeks, which that's what I'm jacked up for. But is Kentucky going to be good this year?
Yes.
Okay. I know they've been getting better and better. They're not just a basketball school anymore. So just check.
Yeah, we're going to be good.
Good. Good to hear. Looking forward to that. Maybe we'll have some fun conversations on Monday during the fall swing, or we can just talk live. I can literally, it infatuates me, so I could talk it all day long. I think the amount of tilt it gives people on Twitter is what infatuates me. Like,
it is.
Some people spend so much time focused on it. It's just like, don't you have better shit to do? Like, really? Right. Like, how's this? Like, come on. Your voice, I hate to break it to you, ain't cutting it. So just let it go. Let it go, man. But all right, we'll leave it there. I'll let it go. You can find Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BD. Enter the podcast at Always Press DFS. Good luck this week. We'll catch you guys next time.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.